are the Cast and Blast Florida Podcast. Serious outdoors friends who don't take themselves too seriously.
What's new, Nate?
Well, I've got two what's news, actually.
Breaking all
first
the
what's new. Yeah, I know, it's crazy. First what's new is that Little Warby's in the house.
Little Warby
for the second time.
I saw it.
Those people on the review last week. Asking you shall
Sarah
receive.
And Tyler.
Who?
That's right. Asking you shall receive. So we're good to have Austin back. It's going to be a fun episode. But my second what's new is if you're in the Atlanta area on July 19th, we are having a Backcountry Hunters and Anglers Pint Night in Kennesaw at the Dry Country Brewing Company. Starts at 7, Thursday, July 19th. Hoping to get some people out there.
Dry Country or Dry County? Because that would be
county.
A hilarious name for a brewing company.
Dry County. That's what it is.
Really?
Dry County Brewing Company. So this county must have been dry back in the day. And so now they're like playing off of that. I'm not really
sure. Having spent a considerable amount of time in Alabama, there were a lot of dry counties.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, back in like the 40s and 50s, there were
no. Like in the 2012s.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there were dry counties.
That recent, yeah.
You could have
a
city that could drink, but not a whole county sometimes.
Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. Well, anyway, Kennesaw, Georgia, July 19th, 7 o'clock at Dry County Brewing Company, Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, Pint Night for the Atlanta area.
And they could meet you.
And they could meet me. I'll be there.
Cast and Blast Florida group.
Nate Henderson?
The
Nate
Henderson.
That's not as exciting as it sounds, I promise.
How would you like people to greet you? Like, would you like for them to give you like an effervescent hug or like a side hug? Or
I'd like a what's new, Nate. That'd be a good greeting.
Just come up and say, hey, what's new, Nate?
What's new, Nate?
Okay. We'll have to keep a tally on how many people greet you that way.
Okay. Yeah, I'll make sure I keep my clicker around so I can click it.
What is new with you? Lil Warby, Austin, what's new?
I've made the big decision. I'm going to get my captain's license, start guiding.
It's about time.
Awesome. That's awesome, man.
I've been putting it off long enough. It's time to do it.
I think I asked you a month ago, when do you get your captain's license so I can pass all some trips to you?
Well, it's coming.
That's big news for everyone out there that needs a captain. And, you know, it's funny to me because there's a lot of contention around, are there too many captains? Like, you hear that all the time, right?
Every day.
But to me, I'm like a free market guy. I'm like, let's let it sort out. Like, if you're good enough to do it, you're good enough to do it. If you're not, you won't be.
Right.
Bad captains don't stay in business very long.
No.
So, in fact,
I agree.
I'm of the opinion, let's just open it up and let everybody be a captain.
As long as you have the...
No, I'd be like, let's pull all the credentials off. Let's just open the market up.
Yeah. And have all kind of liability.
That's my libertarian views coming into to play there a little bit, but I'm just like, hey, if you want to be a captain, go be a captain, dude. Buy you a boat and put a CAPT in front of your name. Go nuts.
You have Bubba out there.
Yeah, you would, but I'm being honest when I say I think the free market would sort that out because a lot of those guys can't do it.
I totally agree.
I realize there are probably some insurance ramifications and some things like that if we were to follow my plan, but I'll put that back in my platform for when I run for governor.
There you go. What's new with you, Trav?
Hey, you remembered.
I'm on it this week.
I got several things new. First one's kind of a somber thing. I just wanted to mention it. This past week, Carl Wickstrom passed away. And for those of our listeners out of state or that don't know, we pick on and make fun of Florida sportsmen a lot. But honestly, for 50 years, 40 years, I couldn't tell you. It's been a long time. Florida sportsman was the voice for the Florida angler. Carl Wickstrom was the founder of Florida Sportsman. And I didn't realize that he was sick. He writes a letter to the editor, the front page of every issue. And I think it was last month, he retired from that. And I saw last week on Facebook, he passed away. So super sad for us. Like I said, even though we love to pick at Florida Sportsman, this guy has been a legend for outdoorsmen in Florida. Like, he's been on the right side of issues for a long time.
Yeah, and he kind of changed the game when it came to outdoor publications in Florida.
Yeah.
You know, because we had like Florida Game and Fish, which is put out like basically by the government, really.
Right.
And then Florida Sportsman came along and didn't have those kind of restrictions. So the articles really opened up to all kind of different things. And it's been the Florida staple magazine for, what, 50 years, 60
yeah,
years, something
absolutely.
Like that.
And he actually, his first magazine he published was a airline magazine, like a SkyMall type magazine. I forget for what airline.
Oh, interesting.
I read that in one of the obituaries last week. That was the first magazine he published, and he realized there was, kind of like we did with our podcast, we realized there was a void in the outdoors industry. He realized there was a void for fishermen in Florida as far as a publication goes. And this was in the golden age of publications. Like, there was no internet. There was no
right
Facebook.
Yeah, he got in at the right time.
So, it was the right guy coming along at the right time. Anyway, super, super sad, somber note. So our thoughts and prayers to his family, to the whole Florida sportsman team. Moving on, moving still in a serious direction, we did want to touch base on Red Tide, which is bad.
It's bad. Yeah, no, it's bad. Yeah, I've got a post or a picture from someone that I know down there that's at Little Gasparilla Island, actually, and she's in one of the canals, and it's just full of dead fish. And it's just super sad, man. I hate that for the fishery, especially for, like, those big breeder snook that they've got, you know, washing up on the shore. And it's just kind of like, I hope we have a good winter because.
Well, and I think we'll circle. I mean, you've.
Oh, I was down there 2 weeks ago in Boca Grande and it was unreal. I've never seen a red tide like that.
So we're going to, I feel like red tide's going to come up again in this episode in the keep and release section more than likely. However, foreshadowing, show the gun in the first act, fire the gun in the second act. However, I wanted to go ahead and mention it because we are working behind the scenes on a entire episode or a couple of episodes that'll be standalone from our regular episodes, unpacking the Lake Okeechobee discharges. And we're going to start bare bones. Like, why do we have to get water out of Lake Okeechobee? What happens if we don't? So we're putting some government officials on the spot. Like, we're having a good time with it behind the scenes, trying to get to the bottom of it. And it'll be a little more serious than our regular episodes, but just want to let you guys know that's coming. And we'll talk, like I said, we'll talk more about it later in this episode. Also important, and I feel like this has not been discussed, the Cast and Blast team went to Grove Roots Brewing Company a couple of weeks ago during our hiatus. And it was office trivia night. And for all of those of you who love our office references and our office jokes and our Parks and Rec jokes, we won.
It came to all the hard work came to fruition that night.
My entire life's work has been pointed at that moment.
How many teams
And I'm
were there?
So I'm so sad I would have missed it. I'm so sad I missed it.
Yeah, and we texted Nate. We missed, I think, 3 questions out of 35 for the whole night. And I texted Nate the 3 we missed, and he got one of them right away. So we would have missed 2 questions.
Yeah.
There were 200 and something people, 50 teams. I mean, wow. it was a pretty, I mean, we weren't sweating it.
Did you get a trophy?
We got a $25 gift card to the brewing company, but we got bragging rights forever.
Right.
You know, chicks dig scars.
And, office
and bragging
night.
Rights.
I can't quote that movie. What's that Keanu Reeves movie? The Replacements. He makes some kind of quote like that. Chicks dig scars. Glory lasts forever. That's where we're at. Glory lasts forever.
Yeah.
It's a Tim McGraw song, isn't it?
I don't know that one.
I'm sorry. That was Chris Cagle, not Tim McGraw. I don't know what I was thinking.
You just confused Chris Cagle with Tim McGraw?
I guess so.
Was Kenny Chesney busy that day?
No, Florida Georgia Line was.
Wait a minute. Speaking of Kenny Chesney, our friend of the show, Joe Polito, tagged us in an Instagram. Joe Polito tagged us in an Instagram post about a Kenny Chesney tribute group playing for free in Jacksonville, and he was inviting us to come up.
No, they were playing for free because they have to. That's like the bottom of the barrel as far as tribute bands go.
Who wants to tribute Kenny Chesney?
I mean, he's not even dead, so can it really be called a tribute band?
I don't even know how to respond. Like, when Joe tagged us in that, and we don't know Joe in real life. Like, we only know him through the show and through social media now.
Right.
When he tagged us in that, I almost unfriended him. Like, I was almost like, this is the straw that breaks the camel's back. Like, we're
That's
done.
It.
We're out.
No more.
What? I mean, I don't understand the real hate for Kenny Chesney with you, though. I mean, do you have to pick on him, like, constantly?
No, he's just terrible.
I mean, do you always beat a dead horse?
No, but he's bad.
Yeah, so yes. I will answer that question. Yes, he does.
People are going to bring him up. He's just...
I mean, I don't necessarily like his music, but I don't have to always pick on him.
I'm willing to not ever mention Kenny Chesney again if the rest of the world is willing to not ever mention Kenny Chesney again.
I feel like you bring him fame by talking about him every single podcast.
You think Kenny's paying me off behind the scenes?
For sure.
Our 14,000 listeners are...
There's no such thing as bad publicity.
Do you think our 14,000 listeners are actually booing Kenny's career right now? Like, he's going up the charts? Are there still charts? Is that still
there
a thing?
There are
like,
still charts, yeah.
Does Casey Kasem still host a thing and they count down songs? I don't know.
Who?
Since Pandora came out and Spotify and all that, I don't listen to the radio anymore. Happy 4th of July tomorrow. This is the last of our notes before we get into our episode. Are you going out on the lake?
We will be the weekend. But since 4th of July is like in a Wednesday, middle of the week, it's like you get Wednesday off. Woohoo. Like, what do you know, you go hang out or
you could
go to a barbecue or something?
You could not enough money to be on the water on the 4th of July.
Absolutely not.
Oh, I'll be there.
Are you going out?
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Are you taking the new Mav out?
Oh, yeah.
Since the last time he was on the show, you know Austin got a new Maverick.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, he's a...
Congratulations.
He's a semi-professional person now.
And you know how much better I am at fishing because of that boat?
Oh, exponentially. Oh. Maverick needs to hit us up for some ad space on the show because we're pimping him pretty hard.
What did you... Did you get a 21?
No, I got that new 26. I got the first one.
He wishes.
Bull. You.
I got an 18.
18. Hey, that's cool.
Same but, color as mine, but with a tan deck.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
Cuts the glare. I like that a lot.
So, if he keeps trying, he'll get there.
Yeah. I got to beat...
One day, maybe you can have a 26.
Yeah. I told him if we sold both of ours and combined them, we could get the down payment on that 26.
That thing, that thing needs to come out tomorrow so I can, like, just look at it. I just want to look at one.
I don't even want to look at it because I'm afraid I would drool on it so much. They charge me.
They ruin it? Yeah. They'd make you buy it?
Anyway, today's episode, our actual episode that we were going to talk about,
which I feel like is uniquely American, by the way,
in honor of the 4th of July, if you hear the thunder in the background, those are not fireworks. We always do first annual inaugural, right?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Okay.
I think that's right.
We do the first annual inaugural top water bait draft, and we found the least qualified person we could in Austin to participate.
He's never thrown a topwater bait in his life.
And we're going to, once again, point the finger at Tyler and Sarah for that. The only reason he's here is because they asked about him. And so,
right. Asking you shall receive, like
I
said.
We basically are doing this for the listeners. So there you go. We've got him on the show. Emily will be back next week. She's in New York City. And I want to say New York City. Yeah. So she is on vacation for one more week, and then she'll be back to give some rule of order. But in the meantime, chaos will ensue, and we are doing a draft of top water lures. Do you have any rules for this, Nate?
I'm pumped about it. That's my favorite way to fish. No rules. Are you kidding me? Just look. All right. The only rule, I feel like the only rule should be if you pick a bait, you pick all sizes of that bait. So you can't be like a Skinner walk and a mini Skinner walk. Like, you know, let's just all sizes.
Okay.
Are we good with that?
That's fair. And all colors.
Yeah.
And all colors, yes.
Although you're welcome to call it a specific color if you want. You get all colors of it. So, but you can't go general and say a popper.
Yeah. No, you got to name
poppers in the world.
The brand, the make and model
yeah.
of the, yeah.
Okay. Good deal. So, we drew straws?
Sure.
In our
or we pick them out of a hat. What do we do? I don't remember.
I forget, too. But the order that was assigned to us by the commissioner is Nathan, then Austin, then myself. So we're going to try to get three rounds out of this, and if you listen all the way through, there will be a prize at the end.
What is that? Is it a free top water bait?
The episode will be over.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's good. Okay.
All right.
So
Nate,
first
you're
pick.
On the clock. First pick.
In the first annual inaugural top water bait draft is I'm going to go with the one and only, my favorite bait that I've ever thrown in my life, the Head and Spitting Image.
Yeah. And that's
specifically,
not cool.
Specifically, the Mark Sosin signature with the greenback.
The greenback. Yeah, that's uncool. And why don't you tell our listeners why that's uncool for you to choose that?
Because it's also your favorite bait on the planet to throw.
Who introduced you to that bait?
Oh, you did, yeah. But thank you for that because I've caught so many fish on that bait. It's not
that's
even
like,
funny.
This analogy is definitely going to get me in trouble. That's like me dating a girl and then introducing her to you and you marrying her and then like saying, oh, yeah, this is my wife and introducing her around and cutting me completely out of the...
That's a little extreme, but I see where you're going with that. But I will say I've caught, I had this one bait that I've had for like 15, like 10 years probably. And
that I
I've
gave
caught,
to you probably.
Yeah, I think I might have got it for you for my birthday or something like that one year. But I've thrown it and caught so many fish on it that all the paint on the sides was basically peeled off. And most of the paint on the top, it was like so tore up. And I caught a big 29-inch redfish with it this year, and he finally broke it. Like, it doesn't work right anymore.
Like, he shattered the actual shell of the bait.
Like, I don't know if he cracked it and let water in or something like that, but for some reason, it just does not work. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to retire that bait, and I might frame it and put it in my house somewhere because it's just that good of a bait.
Yeah. The thing with those baits, and I don't know how long, they quit making them. So now
you can get,
what is it, the Badonkadonk that Bomber makes?
Yeah, it's pretty close.
It's really similar. I mean, it's basically the same mold, but it does not walk the same way. That spitting image, the way it kicks, it literally spits water. And it, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's the right body size or what. Like, for me, there's a strategy. You want a little bit of, like, if it's too calm, a big top water creates too much of a racket.
Yeah, too
so
much
you want
rattle.
Some subtlety
like,
to your top
clunk,
water.
Clunk, right.
Even though you're trying to attract fish with noise, you
it's
still
not
want some
as,
subtlety.
It's not as graceful as the bait it's mimicking.
Correct. And so that spitting image works in all environments. You can make it really noisy, but you can also work it when it's flat calm and still get a lot of fish on.
Yeah, and it's a little, it's kind of a, it's a very medium pitch bait. It's not real high pitch like some of the ones. It's not real low pitch like those big ball bearing ones that just clunk, clunk, clunk. And I feel like it's just got a lot of great sound to it when you're, and you can hear it, but you can also, you know, you can make it subtle too, like you said.
Yeah, I feel like for us, as we go through this, there are certain baits for our fishing in Southwest Florida where they perform better on redfish. This is definitely one that performs better on redfish.
That's one of them. Absolutely.
So, all right, you're on the clock. Follow that up.
Oh, I can't follow that. I live bait 365 days a year.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know why you picked me.
This is not for the cast net, guys.
No, this is not.
This episode is not sponsored by Barracuda cast nets.
No.
Lee Fisher cast nets.
Tim Wade cast nets.
Cracker cast net.
So I'm going to go old school.
Okay.
Something your grandpa used.
All right, I like this.
A Hedden hula popper.
Boom.
Hula popper.
I
nice.
Like the nostalgia.
Yes.
Yes, me too.
So, growing up, we used to slaughter the warmouth bass in a cow pond on them.
With the little bitty ones.
The little tiny ones.
Yeah.
Like an inch long,
I mean, you
inch
get all the
apple.
Sizes, but I know
right.
exactly what
yep.
you're talking about.
Little feathers. They were rubber bands, though.
Yes, and they'd pull off.
Yep.
Like they would decay
yes,
over the years.
The sun,
yep.
Yep.
Oh, that's big time. And they were always painted like a frog, right? Like a green and yellow
green
with the little.
With, black
with like black spots.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. Yep. And those, and if you let those rubber bands sit in your tackle box too long,
melt.
They'll melt, and you pull it out, and you just like got this rubber crap caked
you
all in your tackle
a
box.
New lure.
Yeah, yeah. You just need a mold to put that rubber in to create a new soft plastic bait.
I've caught a million spotted sea trout on that lure,
on a hula popper.
Yep, on a hula popper. I used to throw those a lot back in the day.
Sea trout love poppers.
They do. Like they like that straight ahead action for whatever reason.
I don't really saltwater fish with plugs, so.
Yeah, no, that's a great pick, though. I mean,
well, after
like
this podcast, that's going to change.
Yeah, we'll fix that
I'm going
in a
to
minute.
School.
It's gonna, yeah, you're going to school. Like I told you before, you're going to school.
Well, and it's interesting you say that. As a guide, after the summer of 2015 when we had, I think there were 6 or 7 hook removals I had to do on the boat, I banned artificial plugs. Outside
that's not a bad
clientele.
Idea.
Clientele.
You became a surgeon.
Yeah, so, and I get kind of, I don't like doing that kind of stuff. That makes me a little weak in the knees. So after that summer, I was like, we're not doing artificial plugs anymore. So I love to throw top waters. That's my preferred way of fishing. Like I enjoy it more than anything else, but I don't get to do it as often guiding because I have to go spin a cast net.
You would think Nate's dad would ban topwater plugs too.
You would think after the episode 2 weeks ago, you would think.
Okay. If it's my pick, I'm going because I got to beat Nate to this. Because I know he's going to take it. And I'm going with the Yozuri Walking Dog.
That was next on my list. That was the next one on my list.
Which is another disc. It's weird. Like, I'm guessing they still make the hula popper.
Yes.
I haven't looked for one in quite some time.
I broke out my grandpa's tackle box last night to look at one.
Okay, cool. The Yozuri Walking Dog and the Spitting Image are both discontinued. And when they discontinued this Walking Dog, and I'll try to find one and post a picture. When they discontinued it, this was before the mainstream internet, like where you had Tackle Warehouse and stuff. And I remember I was on the phone with Gander Mountain, sitting in an office. This was like 2001, 2002. I had looked up Gander Mountain's phone number, and I was on the phone with somebody in Minnesota. I was like, can you get me however many boxes you have of these and ship them to me? And I think I ended up with like two cases. It was like 30 of those lures. And I still have maybe six.
We used to go to every tackle shop that we came across, especially the old ones, like that have been around a long time.
Ron's Tackle Shop or something.
Or like Alfred, Bridgemasters like in like Lake Wales. And like we would always, the first thing we'd look for is those walking dogs. Because sometimes they'd have a couple sitting on the shelf that they've had left over. And we picked up several doing that.
And I'm going to go ahead and if you can find one of these, you can buy them still occasionally on eBay. But if you can find one of these, you want the biggest size, which I think is like 4 3/4. And you want it in the yellow and white or the red and white.
Yes. Those are the two best colors.
Or red and white. And there's something about that lure. You can walk it like a regular stick bait, but it will also, for me, for like my kids, don't have the correct wrist action, the risk reel ratio, the RRR, the triple R. They don't have that down necessarily on top water baits, and this one swims a little bit better. So it does okay in a kind of a straight line. It still wobbles enough to give it the right action. And it also doesn't sit as high in the water, which I think makes it easier for a redfish, which basically has to turn upside down to hit a top water plug. It makes it easier for a redfish to catch it.
They're excellent baits. We've got like 10 of them still. But I only have like I've only have one or two of the yellow heads left.
Yeah.
And I used to have a redhead one, but I caught a big redfish on it and it broke it. Yeah. There's something about redfish and breaking topwater lures. I don't know.
Yeah, it's when you catch those big ones on it. But the cool thing about that plug, like I don't throw it around docks.
Because you don't want to break it?
I don't throw it around high oyster bars. Like I'm pretty selective open, about where
wide open wrong. Flat. Please, wide open flat.
So I still know where there's one. I just haven't ever been able to find it. It's got to be wrapped around a particular mangrove root, but I have never been able to find it.
Yeah, there's. I know of one that's like 30 feet in the mangroves.
Who threw that one?
Yeah.
All right. You're up, Nate.
I'm up. So my next one is going to be, I'm going to go back to another classic, and I'm going to go with the Hedden Zara Spook.
Strong.
And there are lots of variations of the Zara Spook. There's like the saltwater, the mini, the freshwater, the mini freshwater. I'm taking them all because they're great. That's just a classic topwater walk the dog bait. It's been around for forever. It's caught a ton of fish. And I think that's just a solid, solid second round choice.
I hate Zara Spooks.
I do too. I don't love them. I don't like them either because I can't work them right. I can never work them right.
I can work them fine. Okay, let me say this. I think the Zara Spook is a better snook bait.
I would agree with that.
I feel like where it sits in the water column is higher, and it, for whatever reason, the way it walks, I feel like it's a better snook bait. But I know people that they swear by it. Right? I have a good friend, Mike Silcox. That's his go-to confidence bait is the Zara Spook, and he will throw that thing and catch fish all day long.
Can I ask a serious question?
Yeah.
So, like, when you are walking the dog,
yep.
What knot do you tie?
I tie a, I think it's called a Rapala knot or a Canoe Man knot or something like that.
Okay, so it's a loop knot.
Yeah,
it's
loop a loop knot.
Okay,
yep.
All right, just making sure.
Yeah,
yeah.
If you don't tie that, you get more pull.
Right.
And it hurts your, you can still walk it, but you
it
better.
It doesn't walk like it does with a
right.
loop knot.
And a lot of these come with split rings.
True.
Which you can tie direct to the split ring with like a clinch knot or a Palomar or something if you want to. But again, they don't give you the same amount of action as tying a loop knot.
Right.
Now, so I usually go loop knot on top of the split knot or split ring.
Yeah, that's what I do too, Nate. Or I'll take the split ring off.
And just tie a loop knot straight to the nose.
Yeah, but used to, and they probably still make these, Rick Klun, I think that's the
Rick
name.
Rick Klun,
the bass
Klun.
Made right. like a, it was a split ring, but it wasn't a circle, it was an oval.
Oval, I've seen it.
So there was no weak spot, because I've had failures in split rings before where they pull. Those Rick Klun's were actually pretty cool if you wanted to take the time. Like if you couldn't figure out how to tie a loop knot, you could take the time with split ring pliers and put them on. And there's a good pro tip for you guys out there that can't tie a loop knot, but learn how to tie a loop knot.
Who can
yeah,
tie a loop
it ain't
knot.
Rocket science.
It's not that hard. Warbs.
Austin, you're up.
I'm up?
Yeah.
God. Can I pick shrimp, pilchard, something like that? Mullet swim on top of the water. All right. I'm going to go horny toad.
Oh, yeah.
Zoom horny toad.
Yes.
He's going freshwater on us.
Today.
Yeah.
I didn't realize you were this kind of a...
Well, growing up, that's all I did was freshwater fish. So now that I have a boat and a truck and I can drive, I saltwater fish, but I like topwater for bass.
I'll tell you what, a redfish will crush a Zoom horny toad too.
Oh, I guarantee it.
When you get,
oh yeah,
you know how when you get a good outgoing tide and you get all that seaweed,
yeah,
in the backcountry, you can run a horny toad over the top of that and just have a field day.
Yeah, we used to. Me and my buddy that I grew up with in my neighborhood, we used to. He had like a 16-foot John boat. We would just like summer afternoons when we were out of school, we'd take off at like 4 o'clock and go to a local lake with a bunch of lily pads and throw those things until dark. And we used to wear the little bass out.
Is that Lake Fanny?
Wear them out. That was Lake Fanny.
I believe it, because that lake is literally covered in lily pads.
Oh, yeah, lily pads from the boat ramp to the boat ramp all the way around. We used to wear the fish out. We also used to wear them out on those Strike King, the Rage Tail shads, the white ones. Those had a little bit like a bigger tail, and so it would like plop, bloop, 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 almost like a buzz bait. And we would just wear the bass out.
Dude, y'all got me wanting to go bass fishing now.
You want to go?
No, I ain't caught a bass in probably a year. Like, I'm getting the itch. I may have to start running bass charters while this red tide started.
Yeah, no kidding.
Okay, so I'm on the clock. I'm gonna throw you guys a bone here and give you a get out of jail free card with a nostalgic pick of my own.
Okay.
And that is a lure. I'm not positive this is the name of it, but we always called them Thunderstick. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Long and skinny.
It's a super long lure, and it has like three sets of treble hooks, and it sits almost vertically in the water.
It's got props.
Yes, and when you jerk it, the back end kicks up, and it pulls straight to you, and it kicks up, and it slaps the surface. And big trout cannot stand that lure. And I haven't thrown one in probably 10 years, but we used to literally wear the paint off of those catching trout.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Fun lure.
And they are a lot of fun.
That's why I put it on my list.
That's pretty good. That's a good pick. It's a good pick.
I mean, we can pick stick bait after stick bait, right?
I mean, one topwater lure is the next, right?
Well, no. But
no,
yes.
You're wrong. But
theoretically, yes.
They all have the same motion just about. They either got a cup on the front and splash water, or they go side to side, right?
Yeah, but there's subtleties like we've been talking about in the where they sit, how they ride on top of the water.
The
which,
water
which
depth.
Which definitely changes, I think,
absolutely,
their performance. And I've never thrown a topwater bait in Louisiana. But I guarantee you the guys out there all have a different, like maybe a Zara Spookworks better out there.
Right.
Or a,
well, yeah. I was just being sarcastic.
But yeah, no, you're right. Okay, Nate, round three.
Round three.
This is our final round because we were worried we would make this so painful for our listeners that they would never tune in again. So this is our final
round. Yeah, we're going to keep it nice and short, which it's too late for that. Anyway, we're going to go, my final pick, I'm going to go with the Rapala Skitterwalk.
You son of a... I mean, it's like you're inside my head. Get out of my brain. That's
I mean,
what Troy Barnes,
you know,
would say on Community.
Yeah, you get
just,
out of my brain.
You just wrinkled my brain. Childish.
Yeah, so I love that bait, especially when it's a little windy and choppy. It's loud.
Yeah, it's a big noise. That's my preferred big bait over the Zara Spook.
Yeah, mine too. But I felt like I had to go with the Zara Spook because it's just a classic, awesome bait. But I pick a Skitterwalk over the Zara Spook when it's laying on my tackle box.
Going back to the shotgun draft, that's almost like you have to pick an 870 Wingmaster in the draft, even though you may not be your first pick. Like, you might want the
Correct.
Supernova or something, but you've got to pick that 870 because if you don't...
Somebody else will?
Well, yeah, it's just like the standard.
Yeah, no, I'm totally, yeah, I'm with you.
50
but
million years
a lot
from
of
now
fish.
When they dig up people's tackle boxes, they're going to find
Skitterwalks.
Well, they're going to find Zara Spooks probably more than anything.
Right.
So he had to pick the Zara Spook, but I like the Skitterwalk pick.
Yeah. I caught the biggest redfish I've ever caught on a Skitterwalk, a mini, the smaller one.
Was that in my boat?
That was in your boat.
Was I pulling you around when that happened?
I don't know if you were pulling me around.
Hey, can you show the listeners how big that bait was, like you just showed me?
Yeah, that was actually excellent for our listeners.
Yeah, it's, you know, 3 inches maybe. The redfish was 32 inches, if I remember correctly.
That was a huge redfish, a big five.
Weighed about 15 pounds.
Nate and I, that was in my first flats boat, right?
I feel like it was either that or your stock craft. I can't remember.
I think that was in the Maverick. No, I think that was in the Baycraft.
The Baycraft. Yeah, that's probably what
and
it was.
That boat was, it had a 90 horse motor on an 18-foot fiberglass flats boat, and it took like 16 football fields to get on a plane. But I loved the hull. I just didn't like the motor.
Oh, yeah.
But that boat, I would push pull it around. And we caught so many fish on topwaters out of that boat because we didn't have pumps running or anything. We didn't have any bait. It had plenty of live wells, but we just didn't use them. We would pull around and
sight cast?
and sight cast and or just blind cast, but keep it moving and throwing those spitting images in those skitter walks. And that afternoon, we caught two fish. And one was that monster redfish, and one was an overslot snook. So yep. The only two fish we caught. To this day, is one of my favorite afternoons of fishing.
So
yeah, and we didn't have a cell phone camera.
No.
Anywhere, like within a mile of where we were at. I also, the other thing, the reason I like skitter walks, especially the smaller ones, is you can catch mullet in the mouth with them.
He did on that same trip catch a mullet in the mouth.
That's a real thing.
I've never seen it happen since. Like, I've seen people snag mullet before.
Right.
But it was in the mouth with the treble hook.
It tried to eat it.
A blind squirrel finds a nut every now and then.
Yeah, right.
All right, Austin, last pick.
Well,
Top Water Draft 2018, first annual inaugural.
Go with the ICAST 2017 bait of the year.
The best in show?
The best in show, is that right? This is the live target mullet.
Yeah.
The soft one.
Have you seen these things?
I have seen them, but I haven't seen them actually, like, held them in my hand.
They come in three sizes.
I would eat it.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Like, it looks like a freaking mullet.
It looks exactly like a little finger mullet.
And they have I love
soft body.
Yeah, that's the smallest size.
I love those soft bodied, you know, things. Kind of like those what are those called? The Paul Brown. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love those soft kind of hybrid soft hard body.
Here's the thing about this. Like, and I haven't thrown this lure yet. It just happened to be sitting on my table, but Austin was talking to me about them. It's perfect because it'll walk on top of grass, like we were talking about throwing frogs or something.
It's weedless.
Right.
It's weedless, and it looks like a mullet. Like, it
looks exactly like a mullet.
It looks like Gray's taxidermy got a hold of a mullet and made you a lure.
I smelled it to make sure it wasn't real.
Yeah, I've been keeping them in the refrigerator just to be safe.
Right.
My last pick, that's a great pick, by the way. And I just got my hands on some, and now we've got red tide all over the place.
I just got my hands on some.
Yeah, no kidding. I'll have to five-finger discount those. My last pick is my sentimental pick, and that is a Hedden. How many Heddens have we picked?
Two.
A bunch.
Mine is a Hedden Tiny Torpedo.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one with the blades.
With the blades, yeah.
It has
little blades
on it, and it's a little, yeah, it's got a spinner on the back.
Yes.
Okay.
A prop.
And it's a straight bait.
Yes.
Like it there is no action.
It does
to
not
it.
Walk. You yeah. just drag it across the water.
But the biggest bass I've ever caught, I've never caught a 10-pound bass, but this one's probably 8.5 pounds. The biggest bass I ever caught was in the pond in my backyard of the house I live in now, but I did not live there. I was a kid. And it was on a Hedden Tiny Torpedo.
That's awesome.
That came out of my grandfather's tackle box. That's a
nostalgia upon nostalgia.
Yeah, it's like so many layers there to peel back. I just can't even.
Love that. It's a great pick.
So, yeah.
That's a great
pick. I feel like there's still a bunch of those rattling around. Caught a bunch of bass on them. Caught a bunch of bluegill on them. Caught a bunch of warmouth on them. So, it's just I like topwater plugs. I like to see the action that's happening. And
yes.
And so, throwing a tiny torpedo, for me, was like my starter lure.
I mean, there's nothing better than seeing a fish explode on a bait. It doesn't matter if you hook them or not. It really has. I couldn't care less if I hook a fish.
It's all about the eat.
Agreed. It's all about the strike.
There was a fish. There was a snook a couple weeks ago when we were fishing. He came out of the water after my bait. And, like, that was the best hit I got. I caught that big redfish, and I caught a slot snook. But that was the best hit I had all week.
And it was a little bitty snook probably you didn't catch.
Yeah, he was probably, you know, 15 or 17 inches. But he came out of the water. He didn't even eat it.
Yeah, I
he
get weak. Out of the water. I get weak kneed when you work it past that point, and there's a bunch of them laying there, and they're all little buck snook, you know, 20, 21 inches.
Aggressive as can be.
And they just, they one of them will hit it and they'll land and you twitch it and one of them will hit it and they'll land and you twitch it and one of them will hit it.
They'll hit it four or five times.
Yeah, and you don't hook one and it's like every time they strike, like I sink a little bit lower. It's like I'm doing the limbo. Like my knees just get weak every time.
I get taller.
You're like, oh. And you're trying not to like work it faster or slower. You're trying to keep
it
the same pace.
You're trying to keep it the same. Yeah, it's just. Oh, there's nothing like it in the world. All right, Nate, did either of you have any, what do we call them, unrestricted free agents that you can sign here at the end of the draft?
I had one. I had the Miro Lure Top Pup.
Okay.
The smaller.
Yeah, I was going to say Top Dog.
Yep.
Top Dog,
also make the She Dog with the different frequency or something.
Yeah,
it's got the high pitch.
Yes. Top Dog Junior.
I've caught a bunch of fish on all those.
Yeah. I like the Fluke, too, the Zoom Fluke.
Yeah, that's a cool lure.
I like that bait. I've caught a lot of fish
on that.
That's
a great bait.
I had the straight ahead. I don't know what the model is. I think it's the 39M, the traditional mirror lure that just when you pull it, it dips down and pops right back up. It's like a stick bait.
Oh, like the floating one. Yeah.
And then I had a chug bug, which is the popper with the big with
like
the big metal lip on it.
Yes.
That you like gurgle like
you did like, what with it? Like what does it do?
Wiggles in the water.
Like gurgled and wobbled and I don't know what all it did. And then I had I also had a frog. I had the Spro?
Yeah.
That makes them the one
the
that
Spro
sits,
frog.
Yes. He sits real high in the water with the rubbery tail like your hula popper.
It's got two though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Spro frog is my go to.
Those are great
top water frog. So what about did you have any others? Did anybody have any? That was it?
That's all I got.
Pinfish and grunts.
The other thing that was cool, and I've never seen one like this, and it's at, I'll have to show you, Nate, next time you're over, Nate, but my dad has, for my grandfather's tackle box, we could have a whole episode on vintage tackle, but he's got a baby pike or gar or something lure from like the 40s or 50s.
And that's interesting.
A good chunk of change, but I always thought that would be cool to throw up under a dock light because you know the snook will hit needlefish.
Right.
And I always wondered if you could replicate that somehow and throw it up under a dock light. And,
yeah, that would be a lot of fun to try.
But I'm not going to try it with that one.
It's time for Keep and Release.
Okay, Travis, what's your release?
I'll tell you what my release is. And if you disagree with me on this, you are objectively wrong.
Okay.
I mean, I try not to be opinionated on this show or
oh
in
my
life.
God. That's the funniest thing I've heard all week.
But in this specific instance, there is no two answers. There's one answer. My release is the World Cup.
Okay. Okay.
Do I even need to explain that?
No,
I can get behind you on that.
Like that's
I haven't watched a minute of it.
Thank you. It's the worst thing in America. And if you're listening to this right now and you're like,
America's not even in it.
No, America's not even in it. And it's freaking soccer. And I'm sorry. I know this is going to offend some people. It's soccer, man. This is the sport that like the kids that play in that don't play the other sports. Like they can't play baseball or football or anything. They play soccer. Like, and we're watching it on TV now. I don't even want to watch my kid go play it at the local thing when he's playing it.
I'm with you. I got a lot of friends who are big time into soccer. Like they have season tickets to like Orlando City.
No
the soccer that, team. So
no,
I'm just not.
Just stop. If you're doing that, just stop.
I'm just not that into soccer at all.
Yeah. Soccer is not good.
No.
Football.
The guy screams goal whenever someone scores because he's shocked. Like it surprises even the announcers when someone scores in a soccer game.
Oh, that's great.
I don't have anything to say about that.
No, I
no, you're good. I'm with you. I agree.
They can end games in ties. Like then does like the East German judge decide that someone gets style points and they get to go to the next round or something? I mean, is this figure skating or is it a sport?
Yeah, I don't
get the entire thing. So I don't get the fuss. It's fine that the world comes together and loves soccer. I'm releasing soccer. So
I didn't even know the World Cup was going on.
Yeah, it's going on because on my Facebook feed, like people are losing their minds because of Germany or something. I'm like, Germany, they're the bad guys in World War II.
Oh, my God.
Mexico, they're the bad guys in the Mexican-American War, the Spanish-American War.
Remember the Alamo.
Yeah, the Alamo. The Mexicans were the bad guys.
Right.
So, all right. What is your release, Little Warby?
Well,
Lil Warby.
I'm gonna act like Travis. Well, my release is I'm gonna catch a lot of shade from a lot of listeners for this, but I'm releasing Costa Del Mar sunglasses.
Boom.
Yeah, you're not gonna catch any shade from me.
Or me.
I have three pairs in my truck. One's broke because of me. Two, the rubber's falling off. And the nose piece is falling off. The lenses are great. The frames suck, you know what.
Yeah. And the warranty.
It sucks. Why am I gonna pay because you're piece of glasses fell apart.
Yeah. So it's got a lifetime warranty that you
have to pay for,
right. Which is ridiculous. Right. Absolutely ridiculous to me.
So if any sunglass companies out there are listening
and want to send you some sunglasses to test,
I'll take endorsements all day.
Just send those to me and I'll make sure they get to him.
No. Send them to me.
Or you can send them to me. I'll give you my address too.
What about you, Nate? What's your release?
So my release this week is the Red Tide. And we talked about it. Yeah, we talked about it earlier in the episode. It's really bad. This is like the worst I've ever seen. Just dead fish everywhere.
And it's been going on for weeks.
Weeks.
I think
weeks. Usually it's like a week. Yeah, usually it's like a week or two and it kind of goes away. Usually. And it's usually not terrible. You can kind of stand it. But even when we were down there, what was that, 3 weeks ago, a month ago?
Yeah.
It was there.
Oh, it's
and I saw dead fish in the bay.
The red tide started, I want to say, May 30th. And
right.
Here's where this drives me nuts. The Okeechobee discharges started June 1st, and the red tide started before that.
Right.
I'm not saying it's not related to the discharges, but I'm saying we got some other problems going on.
Yeah, no, I think the discharges have exacerbated it to where it is today.
Yep.
But it started before. Now, red tide kind of naturally occurs a little bit, but it's never been this bad.
Right.
And so I think if you combo the overpopulation of Florida, people fertilizing their yards every 2 weeks, all the sewage leakage that we have.
Septic systems and sewage and...
And plus just like general pollutants that get into the water.
Yeah.
I think that on top of the discharges have been a major problem, especially this year.
And we alluded to earlier in the episode, we're trying to get behind the scenes. And I'm kind of stupid about this for someone that's a fishing guide. Like, so that's really a good place to come from, because here's what I want to know. What happens if you just shut the locks and didn't do discharges? Like, what happens?
Would it overflow?
Right.
Well, it would. And then what is the worst case scenario then? Does it flood the town of Belglade and people lose their houses? And how many, what's that loss? Or does it flood a bunch of sugarcane fields and they lose their crops? Or does it raise the water level too much and kill all the plant growth in Okeechobee, thus damaging that ecosystem? Like, I want somebody to explain to me from the basic level. So we've got calls into the Army Corps of Engineers. We've got calls into FWC. We've got calls into Moat Marine. We've got calls into some scientists for some of the organizations. So we're going to try to piece all that together for you and at least present a informational episode. I don't know that you'll come out of it with a side, but I feel like what we're guilty of right now is saying you need to do something, and you need to do something by showing up to vote. And I was talking with a friend earlier today. I don't know who you're going to vote for.
Yeah. I don't know. Voting is going to fix this.
Like, I think everyone really should vote. My grandfather's fought in a war so you could vote. Like, I get the idea of voting. I just I don't know who's on the right side of this thing. And I don't know that anybody really is going to present, because to me, every politician wants to talk about growth, 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 growth. Like, you're not a good politician if you said, hey, I really want to slow down development in the city you live in.
Yeah. Can we not have another million people move here in the next year?
Right. And no one's going to run on that. And Florida's, I looked the other day, Florida's got a population of right under 21 million. 6 years, they want to have 26 million. And when you add in the aged infrastructure that we have for sewage and for like all the stuff you talked about, runoff and fertilizer and yards, where are all those people going to live? They're going to build them houses. When you add all that into an already struggling ecosystem, along with big sugar or mosaic mining or whatever the other impacts are already on our environment, I don't understand how it's sustainable. So I'm really worried about it. I want to understand that problem better. So we're definitely going to try to unpack that. That's a good one, Nate.
Yep.
Because I don't know. I'm worried about this. I'm worried about this red tide.
It's concerning.
Like
it's absolutely
concerning.
It's the
worst I've ever seen.
It's like freeze level snook damage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Was it 2010 we got the bad freeze?
Yes.
And
yep.
They closed season for 2 years.
This might be unpopular with some of our listeners, but I honestly wish they'd shut down recreational harvest in Charlotte Harbor.
For every fish, every species?
For inshore species for like 2 years or something.
Well, it's,
I don't see how you recover from this.
They have to, right? I mean, they don't have to, but I mean, if you haven't seen the kills on Facebook and on social media, it's unreal. I was down there 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and I had seen more kill than I had seen in the last 4 years with all the little red tides combined.
And it's gotten worse since then.
Yes. I mean, when you start having hardy fish, you know, Goliath grouper.
Goliaths, yep.
Big
manatees,
hook,
dolphins.
Manatees dying. Yes. I mean, a manatee who doesn't even
tarpon.
Breathe.
I saw some tarpon.
Yeah. A manatee doesn't even breathe oxygen through the water. They breathe it through the air.
Well, and as a guide, basically we close tarpon season. Like, I've had to move clients around. I've had to cancel clients. I've had to, I mean, thankfully my clients are pretty understanding bunch, but it's been a rough go of it. So hopefully we'll be able to get to the bottom of some of that, at least to give us a better informed decision, maybe when we go to the polls, or just better understanding as we move forward. Cause something I'd like for us to all take away is to be better stewards of what we've got to deal with, you know, across the board.
Agreed.
And I think most of our listeners do, but I also think, you know, we talk about little things here and there with cleaning table shots and stuff like that. Like, I just think we can all be a little bit better stewards of the resource. So
agreed.
Because if we're not, our grandkids, kids,
not even grandkids anymore, man. We're talking like,
next year.
Let's talk keeps. What is your keep, Nate?
So my keep this week, and I can't believe we haven't talked about this on the podcast yet. And it's Everglades seasoning.
Yes.
What are we doing with our lives if we haven't talked about this yet?
What flavor Everglades seasoning are you a fan of? Original?
I mean, I like the original. I like the heat. I like their barbecue rub. I like it all. I've had it all.
Do you know
I
the
like
story behind Everglades seasoning?
Not very well, no.
I don't. Do you know the story behind Everglades
seasoning? No, I do not.
I mean, there's got to...
Okay. I don't know.
All right, then you've got a homework assignment. We need to get the story behind Everglades seasoning because...
We need to get to the bottom of that.
I got to guess that's a guy we could probably get on the show.
Probably. I would hope so.
Get him on the show and get him comfortable enough and do like a seasoning ingredients draft to where maybe he would inadvertently reveal his secret ingredient.
Unknowingly reveal...
Because if that works, funny. We also need to get hold of Colonel Sanders.
There
right.
We go.
Right.
We could afford yeah. that 26 Maverick.
Yeah, there we go.
I don't know, man. It's just good on everything.
Yeah.
Literally everything you put it on. It's good.
I put it on everything. I mean, I put it on everything. Italian stuff. Like,
yeah, it doesn't matter what genre.
With Italian pasta or whatever. I'll put Everglades seasoning on it because it's amazing.
Yeah, it doesn't know what like genre of food you're trying to cook. It's just good.
I'm an Everglades
good seasoning
guy, but I'm also trying to watch our sodium intake, and they make a low sodium one that I think is really good too.
Yeah.
Or it's mm-hmm. not low sodium, but it's lower.
Yeah, it's low. Yeah, yeah, lower than like 1,000.
Instead of being
90%
salt, it's 87% salt.
What, right.
What is your keep item, Austin? Little Warbs.
Oh well, 73 days until I can shoot a duck in the face.
Oh.
That's a good feeling.
He just broke the seal. Like, we haven't talked about duck hunting in a while.
Yes.
Yeah, what's that?
And he just broke the seal, and I feel an urgency now.
Oh, I'm ready. I mean,
I think
we're full-blown middle fishing season right now.
But the red tide, I feel like the red tide's kind of pressed pause on that for me, so I feel like you're right.
Still
like,
got Tampa Bay, but...
Between graduation, I lost a week because we were getting a new roof on the house. Like, I feel like this has been the lost season
for fishing
in Charlotte Harbor. And I don't know if it's because of that, but I am so ready to shoot a duck.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about ducks. You've been dreaming about
ducks.
Well,
I told you. Yeah, I told you the other day I had a dream about duck hunting.
That's weird,
so,
man.
You know it's on my mind. Even my subconscious is like, time to go duck hunting.
How many ducks did you shoot in your dream?
I don't know if we shot any. It was weird. It was a weird dream, but all I know is about duck hunting, and that's all I cared about.
We were at a local lake. If I remember the dream correctly, we were at a local lake, and... It was completely encircled with people.
Yeah, like there were people that, you know how they put out chairs and stuff for like parades to mark their spot?
They were going to watch
you. It was like that. It was like that. And there were like chairs with like guns leaning up, but nobody was there. And they were like marking their spot like on this lake. And like we were like, well, we're out of spots. And so we just kind of found a spot in between everybody. But there were thousands of ducks flying around.
Blue-winged teal. They were all blue-winged teal.
Blue-winged teal. They were all blue-winged teal.
That's awesome.
I would shoot a cinnamon out of that group.
You would?
Would you? Yeah. Would you pick the cinnamon out?
Yeah.
He takes headshots only. You know that, right?
Yeah. No, I know that.
Nathan has been on the receiving end of more trash talking from me in a boat, hunting and fishing, than probably anyone alive.
This is true. This is absolutely true. What's your keep, Travis?
I'll tell you. Have you guys ever heard of Modern Huntsman magazine?
Is that what's on
the
table?
I have not.
Yeah, you saw it on the table. It is. I'm showing it to Nate right now. It is.
Whoa, that is like nice.
Yeah, it's like
thick.
It's like, okay, let me tell you about this. It's expensive. The first issue was $35.
Whoa.
But their idea is, the guy that found it, his name's Tyler Sharp. And the idea behind the magazine is something I think we talk about a lot. He didn't like the perception of hunters publicly. Out of college, he got a job as a photographer for a safari. And he went to college in LA, and a lot of his friends, he grew up hunting. A lot of his friends instantly turned on him when they found out he was going to be doing hunting photography. They were like, how could you kill things? This makes me not like you anymore. So he started this magazine with the idea of, I want to change the perception of hunting.
Love that.
So it's really, really, really well done. Like it's super artsy. A lot of heavy photography stuff, a lot of artsy photographs. The writing is incredible. As someone that is a writing snob, just listen to this sentence. I mean, you'd have to see it in context, but this is a woman writer. Her name is Jillian Lukiski. And she's telling the story of an elk hunt and someone's first elk harvest. And she's talking about dry farming at the beginning because her grandfather was a dry farmer. Which, do you know what a dry farmer is?
I'm guessing.
I do not.
I'm guessing without water, right?
They don't have irrigation. Right. So they
gotcha.
They basically plant their field and hope it rains.
Hope it rains, right.
Pray for rain, yeah.
Rain is a good thing.
So she's been talking about that in the opening paragraph. And she said, I think dry farming anywhere in this beautiful world is one of mankind's greatest acts of faith unless we're talking about God or hunting. And it just, like, that's a throwaway sentence in that whole article, but I really like how well written and thoughtful these folks are about the hunt and the harvest. It's not just about the kill. It's not just about...
Right.
It's about the whole experience.
It's about the whole experience. There's another article in there about someone, I think her name was Cameron, and she wrote from the perspective of she went to school and had become a vegan, and then she fell in love with a guy that was big into hunting, and so she decided she wanted to get her first elk tag and go kill an elk so that they could have the meat, because that's what she, like, her family did that now. And she didn't kill one the first year, but it was part of the idea of preparing herself for the hunt and scouting for the hunt and getting the tag drawn and not finding the I think she had a cow tag, not finding the cow that she could harvest. And just this whole, the whole idea of hunting is, it's completely normal.
Right.
And these are completely normal bigger, people. Yeah.
But it's bigger. The idea of hunting and the grandeur of hunting and the experience of hunting is bigger than us.
Yeah.
And it's bigger than us in the moment, bigger than the kill, bigger than, you know, a lot of this stuff. And I think people lose that, especially if you watch modern hunting TV shows.
Absolutely.
Because it's like, it's straight up just like, oh, we're here, and oh, here's a kill shot. And oh, here's another kill shot.
What do it's we like, talk about? I talk about this all the time on Instagram. I mean, you and I have talked about this in the blind. You and I have talked about this in the blind.
Everybody's after the limit.
Everybody's after that Instagram shot of the fully plumed Drake, or of the limit, or of the big elk.
They're not
or
after
of
the hunt.
Yeah, and in the journey, the scouting, the sitting there, the fellowship, the missed shots, the made shots, all of that makes up the hunt and the experience. And the fact that you bought the tag and you bought the permit and you put in the time scouting and you put in the time picking up the trash at the ramp, and you, all of that goes into the idea. Anyway, I just like that there is now a magazine built around that. I don't care how much it costs.
Right.
It's a really well-done magazine. I highly recommend it to you guys.
I'm going
to
check that out for sure.
So Modern Huntsman, we'll put a link to it in the show notes. All right. I think that's all I got. And we'll be back next week. Lil Warby. Lil Warbs or Lil Warby? I forget.
Lil Warby.
Lil Warby. Thank you so much for filling in.
Hey, anytime, kid.
Look out for his new trap album.
Do you want to stay dropping. Woke us out?
Hey, you want me to stay woke us out?
Yeah.
Hey, kids, stay woke.
You're listening to the Cast and Glass Florida podcast, the best thing to happen to Tuesdays since tacos. The podcast is the brainchild of Travis Thompson and Nathan Henderson. All production and editing is done by Emily Thompson. Make sure to subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app. Leave us a review on iTunes.